Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
May I proceed, Your
Honor? Yes.
Ms. McCabe, as you looked over that flat lawn with that good and clear view of the SUV, you could see the SUV and everything between you and the SUV, correct?
When I looked out the front window, I could see the SUV clearly, like I'm looking at you well right now, and it was further away than you are.
And you did it, not once, not twice, not three times. You did it 5 times, and then a 6th after it was gone, correct?
Correct.
And after that SUV was gone, and you looked out that window with that clear and good view, there was no body, was there?
I never saw a body.
Thank you.
I wish I had.
Sounds like that's a little rehearsed.
Not at all. It's not at all.
I'll let the answer stand.
You left the location about 1:45, is that right?
Yes.
You didn't see anything out of the ordinary as you got in? Was it your car or Mr. McCabe's car?
It was my car.
When you got in that SUV of yours, you didn't see anything out of the ordinary outside, correct?
I wasn't looking outside.
Okay. I know that that is the answer that you want to give to every question. My question is yes or no. Did you see anything out of the ordinary?
No.
Thank you. You didn't see anything out of the ordinary when you got in the vehicle?
No.
You didn't see anything out of the ordinary when the vehicle backed up?
No.
When that vehicle turned to the, I guess it would be to the right, to leave toward Chapman, and the headlights illuminated the area in front of you? Didn't see anything out of the ordinary then either?
I wasn't looking out the front window.
Again, there's that question. I mean, there's that answer. My question is, did you see anything out of the ordinary?
Well, you were asking about the headlights out the front. That's why I said I didn't see anything out there front.
Oh, you didn't see the headlights turned on?
I was turned to the back.
Right. Did you see that the headlights came on the car?
Yes, in the driveway, the headlights came on.
Right, and you're seated in the front passenger seat, correct?
Correct.
So, according to you, you got in the car and immediately twisted yourself, looking directly to the rear, and never turned back around, and never looked outside the windows.
Correct.
Got it. Is that normal for you?
Yeah. I'm a very chatty person, so I turned to talk to the girls.
So you made sure that you didn't look out the window?
Nope, that's not it at all.
You also didn't hear anybody. You did hear some of the girls in the back, since they were so chatty, talking about bread and sandwiches or something, right?
Correct.
But you never heard anybody say anything about noticing anything out of the ordinary, correct?
Correct.
You didn't hear Julie Nagel say that she saw a black object in the yard?
Never heard that.
But you were turned around looking right at, according to you, correct?
Correct.
Indeed, engaging them in conversation, according to you.
Correct.
So that you can make sure that you weren't looking out the front or right windows.
Objection.
Can you answer that? Is that why you did it?
No, that's not why I did it. I was talking to the two girls.
When you got home, what did you do?
I went up to bed.
What time do you think you got home?
Somewhere after approximately, between 2 and 2:15.
It took you a few minutes to drop the girls off?
Correct.
When you got home, you got on your phone, correct?
Yes.
Before you got on your phone, you went upstairs to your bedroom?
Yes.
Did you use any applications? Well, let me ask it this way first. Did you make any phone calls, just using your phone, any phone calls after you got home, either downstairs or upstairs?
I do not believe so.
Did you use any applications to communicate with anybody through Wi-Fi? Do you know what I mean by that? Like FaceTime audio or WhatsApp, phone calls, things like that.
A text message?
No, actually, and you may not use these, but I'm asking, did you use any kind of third-party app that uses Wi-Fi, VoIP calls other than just a phone call?
No.
Okay. Sounds like you don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Fair enough. So it's safe to say that you didn't use or you don't use any multimedia to communicate. You don't use FaceTime or Snapchat or Signal or anything like that.
I've used FaceTime with my children, yes.
Not for phone calls.
No.
Like FaceTime audio is a way that you can make a call. No?
I've FaceTimed with my kids at school, but...
That's videos. Right?
Oh, okay. So yeah, I guess not.
You didn't do that night either.
Not that I recall.
Did you, now I'm going to get back to your question. Did you text anybody?
I did, yes.
Who did you text?
I texted my sisters, and I texted my husband and a friend in a group chat.
You texted your husband and a friend in a group chat?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Your husband was home?
Yes.
I want to switch gears for a second. And ask you real quick about later that morning when you went to John O'Keefe's house. You mentioned on Friday that you went into his house and began to look around for him when you first got there with Carrie Roberts and my client, Karen Reed, correct?
Yes.
You indicated that you looked in his bedroom and saw that the bed was made, correct?
Yes.
You also indicated that you looked around other parts of the house looking for him, searching for him. Is that right?
Yes.
You obviously saw the blankets and pillows on the couch downstairs in the living room, correct?
I peeked over at the couch.
And you're aware that Karen Reed stayed on the couch that night to wait for John to come home?
I'm not aware of that, no.
You testified on Friday that my client said at the scene, when you got back to the scene, 34 Fairview, just after 6 a.m., that she said, "I hit him 3 times. She declared it, correct?
Correct.
Not once, not twice, 3 times. I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, correct?
Correct.
You have a very specific memory of that event, do you not?
I do.
Obviously, that's an incredibly impactful thing for you to remember. Is that right?
It was an impactful statement, yes.
And you remember it today as well as you remembered it the day she did it?
Yes.
Okay. I may have just a moment. Thank you. May I?
Yes.
It's just the entirety of the picture. I'm going to hand you a document. Did you, before I ask you about that specific document, did you review anything before you testified in preparation for your testimony today or Friday?
Yes.
Did you review your grand jury testimony?
I did, yes.
Understood. You did review your grand jury testimony, correct?
Yes.
So the document in front of you, you recognize it?
Yes.
That is, in fact, a true and correct copy of your grand jury testimony on that you gave on April 26th, 2022. Is that right?
Correct.
You'll agree that your testimony in that case, in that hearing, rather, April of 2022, that was just a few months after the events in question, right?
Yes.
You were under oath at the time that you gave that testimony?
Yes.
And you were subject to the penalty of perjury when you were answering those questions, correct?
Yes.
Ms. McCabe, I'd like you to turn to the page, since you've reviewed this, turn to the page of that document where you ever said in your testimony that my client said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Was I asked what she said?
I get to ask the questions.
Well, I'd like you to direct me where to look.
I want you to look at the entire grand jury testimony if you need to, and turn to the page where you ever said that my client said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
I'm not sure if it's in this document, but I can tell you today with 100% clarity, she said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him on that morning.
So it's not in that document, is it?
I'm not sure if I could take the time, and do you want me to read over 200 pages?
May I approach?
Yes.
No, I don't want to take the time. Because you just indicated that you reviewed this document in anticipation of your testimony, right?
Correct.
So you've gone over it recently?
A few weeks back.
So we don't need to read it. You know that you never testified to that in the grand jury in April of 2022, don't you?
I don't know that as a fact. I would have to reread 222 pages, or however long it is.
You think you might have missed it when you reviewed your testimony in anticipation for, I'm sorry, when you reviewed your transcript in anticipation for your testimony?
Objection.
Hello.
I read it a few weeks ago.
Probably the most powerful part of your testimony, ma'am.
And I will never forget it.
Check.
Okay, so that's stricken.
Would you agree? Do you think that's a powerful part of your testimony?
Objection.
I'll allow that.
It is, yes.
Did you see it in the transcript?
I cannot recall. It's over 200 pages.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
These are select pages. It's 190, 192, 193, 201, 208, and 209. I'm just going to show that you can ask questions, but it's quickly, but I'll give you an example. It's still page of
yes. These are select pages out of your grand jury testimony. Isn't it true, Ms. McCabe, that you were asked and you testified no fewer than 12 times what my client said, either at the scene or on the way to the scene?
At the scene, I was asked twice, according to this.
My question is, isn't it true that in April of 2022, you testified no fewer than 12 times, 12 separate statements you gave about what my client's statements were, either at the scene or in the car ride on the leading up to go into the scene? You remember that?
I do.
Okay. So on page 190 of what you're looking at, these should all be highlighted.
It is.
You testified that my client said to you over the phone at 4:53 a.m., she asked the question, did I hit him? You see that?
I do.
Number two, on page 192, talking about when y'all were in the car on the way to the scene, Karen asked the question, could I have hit him? You see that?
Yes.
Page 193, lines 1 through 2. You testified that in the car, once again, she asked the question, could she have hit him? You were relaying that, meaning could I have hit him, correct?
Correct.
Page 193, line 23. In John's driveway, she asked the question, quote, and she is asking if she could have hit him.
Yes.
Page 201, driving to Fairview, she asked the question, what if I hit him? And could I have hit him? Correct?
Correct.
Page 202, lines 1 through 2. While driving to Fairview, she asked the question, could I have hit him?
Correct. Correct.
Page 208, lines 24 through 25, outside at Fairview, she asked the question, did I hit him? And went on to ask, could I have hit him? Correct?
Correct.
And your testimony was also on page 208 that Karen was yelling nonstop in front of the female EMT, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Is he dead? Correct?
Correct.
May I approach?
Yes.
That's 12 times that you reiterated under oath, under penalty of perjury, in April of 2022, what my client's statements were, either at the scene or leading up to getting to the scene, correct?
Correct.
Every single one of those, 12 separate times, you indicated that she asked a question, something like, could I have hit him or did I hit him, correct?
Correct.
Not one time in that testimony did you say she declared, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. Did you?
The questions that were asked, when she said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, that was at the scene in response to an officer asking questions. What I just read was asked when she first called me, or when we were driving in the car, or when we were at John's house. So I was answering the question that I was asked.
So you believe that you weren't asked the question, did she say to an officer, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him? And if you're not asked the question, did she say to an officer, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him? You're not going to volunteer that she said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. That's your testimony.
No, that's not. My testimony is, an officer was asking her what his name was and different things about him. And at that point, she was saying, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Which officer?
I do not recall.
Well, you recall the I hit him. You just told me that was the most impactful thing in the morning.
It was shocking.
So what officer did she say this to, supposedly?
I was more focused on her and her hysteria than which officer was asking the question.
So you have no idea who the officer was even, correct?
I'm not sure which officer was asking her. It could have been an EMT. Someone said, what is his name? Does he have medical conditions? How old is he?
But you were asked that question, ma'am. On page 208, you were asked what she said in front of the female EMT who was asking her questions. And her answer was, I'm sorry, your answer was, she said, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Is he dead?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That is correct.
That would have been a good time to offer up that she confessed, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, right?
Objection.
Sustained as to that form.
Ms. McCabe, the truth of the matter is you've manufactured this new story for this jury because you think it helps you out.
Absolutely not.
You called 911 at 6:04 a.m. Is that right?
Yes.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, Exhibit 36 has already been marked and entered. I would ask to play a portion of that 911 tape, not the entirety of it.
Okay.
With the court's permission, I'd ask to play about runtime 130 to 145. If you could wait 2 seconds and pause it. Great. Yes. Do you recognize the voice on that tape?
Yes, that's mine.
That appear to be a true and accurate, at least that portion, a true and accurate recording of the 911 call that you made that morning?
It was a very brief clip, but I'd have to hear more.
Go ahead and play. Starting at runtime 130 to about runtime 145.
46 years old.
46, how long have you been outside?
I don't know. He got out of the car and
stop. Was that you?
Yes, that was.
Is that the 911 call?
Yes, it was.
And what did you just say?
I said, I don't know. He got out of the car.
He got out of the car,
mm-hmm.
is what you said, correct?
Yes.
And this was at 6:03 in the morning, correct?
Correct.
This is before you ever talked to Brian Albert?
Correct.
Before you ever talked to your sister, Nicole Albert?
Correct.
Before you ever talked to Chris Albert?
Correct.
Before you ever talked to Julie Albert?
Correct.
You haven't talked to anybody at this point other than Carrie Roberts, correct?
And Karen Reed.
And my client.
Correct.
And in that 911 call, you said he got out of the car, didn't you?
I did, because Karen Reed had told me that she had left him there.
Your words were, he got out of the car, correct?
Correct.
Did you make any other calls other than to 911?
I called my sister.
What time was that?
I believe it was after the 911, but I'm not sure.
You claim that your sister didn't answer. Is that right?
She did not answer.
But you do know that your phone extraction shows that that was an answered call at 6:07?
If that's what it shows, but I can tell you she did not answer the phone.
And you are as sure about that as you are that my client said I hit him 3 times, right?
I certainly am, yes.
Perfect. You also called her at 6:08.
I might have called her twice, yes.
Your Honor, I have an exhibit. This may be as good a time as any to take a break. If you wish, I just have to queue it up. It's up to you. I don't mind.
Folks, we'll take the morning.
All right, jury, please reserve the following.
You may be seated.
So, Mr. Jackson, when you said it's an exhibit, is it in evidence?
It's not.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask to mark it. It's a digital recording of a 4-minute voicemail on John O'Keefe's phone. It does include the 911 call. I don't want to play the entirety of the 911 call, but I do want to play the entirety of this particular 4-minute voicemail.
Okay. Do you know what it is, Mr. Lally?
I do.
Okay. So is there an agreement that it's coming in?
There's no objection to it.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I just needed to know if I need it would make sense for me to review it if there was an objection.
All rise for the court, please.
You are unmuted.
Thank you. You see it for the session.
So, Mr. Jackson, is it all queued up, or do we need the, well, we need the witness, but were there any questions first, or were you just going to the video? Okay.
I'll ask.
All right, let's bring Ms. McCabe in. Okay, whenever you're ready, Mr. Jackson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ms. McCabe, I want to go back very briefly to something you said just before we broke, and that was in respect of the statements that you attribute to my client out of the scene. You said, well, there was an officer possibly asking questions, or it could have been a female EMT, and I wasn't answering questions about that, correct? Hence, you didn't say, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him.
Can you be clear on your question?
Let me rephrase that. Before we broke a few minutes ago, you had said, the reason I didn't say, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, is because I was never asked. And the subject never came up about what an officer asked her when she declared that. So I just didn't offer it. And then you said, or it could have been an EMT.
Yes, I'm unclear who was there.
Isn't it true that at the grand jury, the question that was posed to you, and this is counsel page 208 of the grand jury, the question that was posed to you is, quote, so what happens next with yourself, Ms. Roberts, and Ms. Reed? And your answer was, so there are different, you know, police officers getting statements from us. At one point, I'm standing with Ms. Reed, and she's saying, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? And there was, I believe, an EMT, a female, standing right next to me and listening to her yelling, did I hit him? Could I have hit him? Is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead? Was pretty much nonstop. Remember that testimony?
I do.
So in point of fact, you were answering the direct question about what happened in front of the police officer and the EMT, correct?
There were multiple police officers and multiple EMTs present.
So now this is another police officer and a different EMT.
I'm not saying that.
Okay. But nowhere in this did you say that she declared the words, I hit him. Correct? We'll agree on that.
Correct.
Your Honor, I have an item that I would like to have marked as next in order.
Okay.
Question. May I approach?
Yes.
I agree that you wanted that will be in exhibit 96.
Thank you.
With the court's permission, I would like to play a portion of this and then stop it.
Okay.
And ask the witness a couple of questions about it. Okay. It's audio only. Ms. McCabe, I've paused the audio tape just to ask you a couple of foundational questions. Do you recognize what's on that audio tape?
Yes, that is my voice.
Okay. You recognize you starting a 911 call, correct?
Correct.
Similar to the call we just listened to a few minutes ago, which was the actual 911 call, correct?
What's the difference between the two of them?
I'm about to explain it. It's a confusing question, and I apologize. This appears to be a open voicemail overhearing your 911 call. Do you recognize that?
Now that you explain it, okay.
You hear a rhythmic boom, 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 boom,
the windshield wipers.
Okay. So that would have been, that was my next question, that would have been an open voicemail that was recorded inside the cab of the SUV that you were seated in, correct?
Correct.
Overhearing you call 911 and overhearing whatever else was going on, ambient noise at the scene, correct?
Correct.
Does that sound like a true and correct copy of at least the portion of the 911 call that you heard?
I have to listen to it again, but...
Well, why don't we continue listening to it and see if you recognize it?
Okay.
With the court's permission?
Yes.
It's about, by the way, it's about 4 minutes in total, Your Honor.
Okay.
Where is my head? I don't see what I'm carrying.
Pause it. Do you hear a person in the background screaming?
Yes.
Who is that?
Miss Reed.
I'm going to go ahead and play this. The audio recording that we just marked into evidence?
I did. It was very muffled, and some parts were very hard to understand.
Understood. Mm-hmm. The person on the phone, who was that person?
I called 911.
And the person that was, for the most part, the person's voice that you could hear screaming, sounding sort of hysterical, who was that?
Karen.
Could you also hear Carrie Roberts' voice at various times in the background?
Yes.
And she was, for lack of a better word, trying to calm Karen down?
Yes.
And at some point telling her to just shut up, you're not helping.
Yes, exactly.
Because she was so hysterical and so upset.
Erratic.
I want to play the rest of this. It appears that this recording is longer than your 911 call. You would agree with that?
Well, I'd have to see.
Well, the 911 call's already ended, correct?
I'm not sure how long was the 911 call.
Okay, this is about 3.5 minutes into a 4-minute recording. My only question is, would you agree that the 911 call is subsumed within this full 4-minute recording?
I couldn't make that from that muffled.
You couldn't tell?
I couldn't tell. So if you have my phone record, you could, I'm assuming, tell when the 911 call ended, because I know the 911 call was long because there were multiple, they had transferred me multiple times.
Right. My question to you is, I'd like you to listen very, very closely, and I know that it is a muffled recording by definition. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. From this point forward, I want you to pay very close attention. I want to ask you if you hear a voice very muffled toward the end of this recording. We can play it with your permission.
Yes.
Stop. Did you hear a muffled voice in the foreground after you heard Ms. Reed scream or yell?
I heard two people talking.
Okay. And one of those was a very muffled voice on this recording, correct?
Most of the recording was muffled.
The one I'm talking about is, I just played the voice that was muffled in the foreground of the audio recording, for want of a better phrase.
Yes, you just, that? I heard that, yes.
Was that you?
I don't know if that was me.
There was nobody else in the cab of the car with you, was there?
I was standing at the trunk of the car, outside of the car.
Carrie Roberts was over by Mr. O'Keefe?
Agree. Yes, they were kind of running back and forth at times.
And Karen was over by Mr. O'Keefe for most of that?
Yes.
But you were the one by the car?
Back and forth. Mm-hmm.
You called Nicole, your sister. By the way, has this ended? Did we finish playing this just for 15? Okay, thank you. Okay. That appears to be the end of the tape.
Okay.
Okay. You called your sister at 6:07 and 42 seconds, correct?
I don't have my phone record in front of me.
Does that sound about right?
Approximately.
And you made a second phone call at 6:08 and 17 seconds. Does that sound about right?
I did call her twice, yes.
And both of those calls show in your extraction that they were answered phone calls, correct?
I don't have my extraction in front of me.
Well, you've been asked this question a bunch of times, right? You were asked this question at the other proceeding, is that right?
Yes.
And you were shown phone records?
Well, if you have them, I could see them here.
You were shown phone records then?
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, you were confronted with the fact that the phone records show a 7-second call for 6:07, correct?
Objection.
I'm going to strike the word confronted. Go ahead and ask.
I'll pick another
word. Go ahead and ask the question.
You were shown evidence that the 6:07 call lasted 7 seconds?
My sister never answered the phone.
Okay. I know you want to answer your own questions.
Yeah.
I'd like it if you'd answer my question. Were you shown records that showed the call lasted 7 seconds?
I cannot recall the exact record I was shown, but I was shown a phone record.
Okay. And you were shown that the same phone record showed that the 6:08 call lasted 8 seconds, right?
Again, I don't have it in front of me.
Does that sound about right?
About right. And there were a number of other calls that showed answered that weren't answered.
Well, we'll get to those in a minute. So the two calls at 6:07 and 6:08, at least the records indicate about 15 seconds worth of open line time, talk time. 7 seconds, 8 seconds, right?
You have the record in front of you. I don't.
I'm just asking if you were confronted, if you were, there's that word again, if you were shown records that established that based on your own phone extraction and your phone records, that the 6:07 call was a 7-second call, the 6:08 call was an 8-second call, right?
I was shown records, but I don't know exactly what they were, how long the call said, because she never answered the phone regardless.
You also made another phone call at 6:23, did you not? To Brian Albert?
If you had could share my phone record, it would be very helpful.
Do you recall it?
I know I called my sister and I called my brother-in-law in the house. I do not know the exact times.
That's all I'm asking. You made a phone call to Brian Albert as well, right?
I believe so.
That was around 6:23. It was a few minutes after you had called Nicole twice, right?
Correct.
And that call was not answered.
None of them were answered.
Okay. But the record showed that that call was not answered, as opposed to Nicole's two calls, right?
Right.
Okay. The calls to Nicole were deleted from your phone before you turned that phone into law enforcement, weren't they?
Not by me.
By somebody else?
I never deleted any calls when I willingly handed my phone over.
You claim that you didn't delete calls, but you do know that your phone was forensically analyzed and those calls were in the deleted file folder, correct?
I have seen that, but there were 20 calls all in a group that were all deleted. So cherry picking a few makes it look a different way.
Okay, so we'll get to those. I'm not cherry picking anything, Mr. Cade. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you questions about the records.
Which I would love a copy of if I could see.
We'll get to that in a second. Just going by your memory, you've seen these records a bunch of times. You've been questioned about these records a bunch of times, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, we know that you called at 6:07, 6:08, or thereabouts, and about 6:23. Two to Nicole, one to Brian, correct?
Correct.
And you'll agree with me that notwithstanding those phone calls. By the way, did you leave voicemails?
No.
When did you hang up? Before it went to voicemail? Or was it into voicemail before you hung up?
So it was a bit of a hysterical scene that morning, and I was in a state of shock, and I was just calling my sister and my brother-in-law. They did not answer the phone. I cannot tell you when I hung up, because it was a hysterical scene. I was in a state of shock. Everyone was running around. And what seems to be forgotten is that my friend was lying there on the ground.
Oh, I don't think anybody's forgotten that. You, in fact, did not leave voicemails for any of those three calls, did you?
Again, I don't have my phone record in front of me.
And that's because Nicole didn't get any voicemails because the calls were answered, right?
The calls were not answered.
You do agree with me that Brian and Nicole Albert, Brian Albert being a police officer, never came out of the house, right?
Correct. Neither did any neighbor.
I know you'd like to continue editorializing after the fact. There's probably a time and a place for it. This isn't it. If you can answer my question, I'd ask that you do that. Did Brian Albert come out of the house?
No.
Did Nicole Albert come out of the house?
No.
Thank you. How many of the initial police officers from Canton Police Department who responded to the scene were you friends with?
I would say I am friendly with Mike Lank. He was 5 years older than me. I knew him growing up. If I saw him around town, I would say, hey, how are you? Pretty much that's the extent.
Anybody else other than Mike Lank that you were friends with?
Not that I am friends with. I knew of Officer Sean Good, but I wouldn't say I was friends with him. I just knew who he was.
And you also knew that Officer Lank was very good friends with the Albert family.
Good friends, yes.
You knew that Mike Lank and Chris Albert had a long-standing friendship, correct?
Correct.
You had just indicated you also knew Officer Good, is that right?
Didn't know him, I said I knew of him.
Okay. With regard to names like Seraph, Eleni, not so much.
Seraph has a sister that's the same age as my sister, but I had never, to my knowledge, met Seraph.
And of all the officers who responded to the scene, the two who actually went inside the Albert home to talk to Brian Albert and others was, in fact, Mike Lank and Officer Good.
I don't remember Officer Good in the house. I only remember Officer Lank.
The reason you know that, the reason you have a memory of what was happening inside the house, is because you were allowed to actually go into that home, correct?
Correct.
And you went into that home before any of the officers went into the home. Is that right?
Correct.
You were allowed to have private conversations with Brian Albert?
I woke Brian Albert up.
Were you allowed to have private conversations with Brian Albert?
Yes.
And you were allowed to have private conversations with your sister, Nicole?
Yes.
And that was before the police ever went in to do any formal interviews of you, Brian, or Nicole, correct?
Correct.
Did you discuss in these private conversations how you three were going to answer any questions for the police when you were asked?
No.
Did you talk about what you were going to say in any respect?
We were in shock. There was
no. Did you talk about what Brian and Nicole were going to say in their interviews with the police?
No.
Did Brian Albert give you any advice as a police detective what you should do or say when you were interviewed?
No.
Did he give you any advice as a police detective what you should do with your cell phone?
No.
Did he tell you that the police might want to get a hold of your cell phone at some point?
No.
Did you two discuss the calls that you made to Nicole Albert at 6:07 and 6:08 and the call that you made to Brian Albert at 6:23?
No.
Did you ever discuss the idea of potentially deleting any of those calls that were made in that early morning?
Absolutely not.
Would you tell us if you did?
Yes, because I'm an honest and truthful person.
Did you tell him which officers were outside?
I don't recall.
Did you tell him that Officer Lank, specifically, friend of the Alberts, was outside?
I don't recall.
And then your husband, Matt McCabe, arrived at the scene, correct?
Correct.
He was allowed to come in the house as well, right?
I believe Officer Lank was in the house before Matt came into the house.
And a little bit later that morning, Julie Albert came over, correct?
Correct.
And by the way, Officer Lank, after just a few minutes, then left the house, correct?
Correct.
Leaving all the witnesses inside together.
Correct.
And I can't remember if I asked this question or just thought it out loud. Did Julie Albert come over?
She did.
And then Chris came over?
Yes.
Even Brian Higgins came over?
Correct.
These are all friends and family of yours, correct?
Not. Brian Higgins I had only met a handful of times.
But you consider him a friend.
A friend of Brian Albert's is how I would reference him.
Fair enough. So these are friends and family of Brian Albert?
Correct.
And everyone was permitted to discuss the circumstances of the evening before going into the early morning hours with each other with no police there, correct?
I sat with my family in shock and horror.
Were you allowed to discuss the circumstances of the night before going into the early morning hours amongst yourselves without any police presence? Yes or no?
There was no reason for us to be allowed or not allowed. We did nothing wrong.
Do you understand my question? Did you get it?
Yes, I understand your question.
Can you answer it? Yes or no? Were you allowed, that group of folks, mm-hmm. were you allowed to discuss the case without a police presence?
Yes.
Okay. So you listened during that friends and family gathering, you listened to what Brian Albert had to say, correct?
He didn't really say much.
He was able to listen to what you had to say?
Again, you're creating a scene that didn't happen.
Anything, Ms. McCabe, I'm asking some questions that you don't seem to want to answer.
Objection, Your Honor.
All right, so let's ask a question and let's get an answer, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes or no? With Brian Albert there within earshot when you discussed your version of what had happened.
I didn't discuss much. I sat there in shock and horror, so I spoke very little, to be honest with you.
But what Lulu, you did speak, he could hear.
Yes.
And Nicole could hear.
Yes.
And Chris Albert could hear.
Chris came much later.
And your husband, Matt McCabe, he could hear.
Yes.
Okay. And then when Chris is talking about what happened at Waterfall, you could hear and Brian could hear. In other words, everybody could hear everybody.
Chris came much later. When Chris came, I was almost about to leave.
I'm guessing that the topic of what had happened was still on everybody's mind.
Everybody was trying to figure out what had happened.
And you're discussing it amongst yourselves. That's my point.
With my sister and my brother-in-law and my husband. Correct.
Before you left, you said you were about to leave. Before you left, another Albert came over to the house. Correct?
I don't recall seeing him.
Him.
Kevin Albert.
How'd you know I was talking about Kevin Albert?
Because you said another Albert came over, and I was...
Six brothers.
I was told later it was Kevin.
I see. So you believe that Kevin was not there when you were still there?
I was in a state of shock. He may have walked in.
I'm asking, do you remember?
I don't remember it,
okay.
No.
He could have been.
He could have been, absolutely.
And you knew he was a Canton police officer?
Yes.
You had already gotten a call from Michael Proctor, hadn't you?
Yes.
He told you he wanted to speak with you.
Correct.
So you knew at that point that the Massachusetts State Police troopers had taken over the investigation of the case, correct?
Correct.
Did Michael Proctor tell you that the Canton Police Department had been recused from the case?
Objection.
Sustained.
Let me ask it a different way. Did you have knowledge in any way, say form or fashion, at that point, that Canton Police Department was not supposed to be involved in the case?
Objection.
Sustained.
Speaking of Trooper Proctor, when you first interviewed with him, that was January 29th, 2022. We've already discussed that a little bit today, correct?
Correct.
And he was taking notes while you were interviewing with him, is that right?
I believe so.
You mentioned on Friday your observations of the taillight that day, is that right?
Correct.
You told Mr. Lally that you indicated that the taillight looked, when you saw it, just like the photograph that he showed you, correct?
I told him it was hard to make out and with the snow on it, but it looked, and the picture that he showed.
He showed you a second photo, a close-up, mm-hmm. basically, of the SUV in a Sally Port.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you said, yeah, that's the condition of the taillight, correct?
Yes.
You also told Trooper Proctor about your observations of the taillight on that same day, the 29th, right?
Correct.
That's literally the same day that you saw the taillight, correct?
Correct.
Just a few hours later, is that right?
Correct.
And what you told Trooper Proctor that day was that you, quote, saw a crack in it, end quote, correct?
I told him that the taillight was cracked.
Matter of fact, the words that you used were that you saw, and I'm not fighting you on those words. You saw that it was cracked. You actually said, I saw a crack in it, correct?
That's what he said I said. I'm telling you, I said the taillight was cracked.
So this is another example of him screwing up your words, correct?
You'd have to ask Trooper Proctor.
So I'm asking you, did you say, I saw a crack in it?
I said the taillight was cracked.
So you didn't say, I saw a crack in it, right?
I said the taillight was cracked.
The photograph that you were shown, with the court's permission, it's Exhibit 92, I believe, from Friday.
Okay.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
You see that photograph? You were shown this photograph on Friday? Does that look like the taillight has a crack in it?
It's cracked, yes.
It's actually completely missing.
Yeah. And I believe in one of the reports, one of the many reports, it will say that I said it was cracked and missing pieces.
Right. Does that look like it's cracked and missing pieces, or does that look like the entirety of the taillight is basically gone?
Again, in that picture, there are the red pieces. There are some of it still there. So it was cracked and missing. In a state of shock, that was my description.
Got it. So in a state of shock, you said there was a crack in it.
No.
Hours after.
I said it was cracked. I never said there was a crack in it.
So if Trooper Proctor wrote that down, that would be an example of him getting your words wrong yet again.
Objection.
Correct?
That's been answered. Let's move along, please.
That's okay for that. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay.
I want to get back to January 29th, that interview with Trooper Proctor. After this interview with Michael Lank, you eventually made your way back to your house. Is that right?
Yes.
You went with your husband, Matt?
Yes.
And you knew that Trooper Proctor was going to show up and interview you and Matt, Mr. McCabe, correct?
On the phone, he wanted to speak with me.
Is that a yes?
So I wasn't aware. He asked to speak with me. I wasn't aware if he was going to speak with Matt.
Okay. You were at least aware that you were going to be interviewed.
Correct.
You told Brian Albert that Trooper Proctor was planning on interviewing you as well.
Correct.
Before Trooper Proctor showed up to conduct that interview at your house, Brian Albert actually showed up at your house, correct?
Correct.
So Brian Albert made sure that he was in your home before Trooper Proctor made it to your house, correct?
Objection.
Distinct.
Brian Albert was in your home before Trooper Proctor was in your home. Is that right?
I am not sure who arrived first.
But he was there when you were interviewed, wasn't he?
He was upstairs, yes.
And you believe, of course, with that statement, he didn't hear anything about what was going to happen, right? He didn't hear anything about the interview.
No, I don't think he could hear it from where he was.
But you knew. He was just a few feet away.
I knew he was up in my bedroom.
We've talked a little bit about your call records, and I want to pivot for a second and ask you about those call records. This is Exhibit 90. Donna, may I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you recognize that document?
I do, yes.
You were shown this document last week, is that right?
Correct.
This is a forensic extraction report of John O'Keefe's cell phone that you were shown on Friday, right?
Correct.
You acknowledge that it's an accurate report of calls found on John's phone between you and him, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and this shows the calls that you made to John's phone or you received from John's phone on or between, or at or between 12:14 a.m. and 12:50 a.m. I want to direct your attention to those time frames, correct?
Correct.
All right, I want to start at the bottom, and it may go in reverse chronological order.
Okay.
I think it does. At 12:14, it shows that you called John O'Keefe and that call was answered. Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
At 12:18 a.m., it shows that John O'Keefe called your phone, and that was answered as well.
Correct.
And then at 12:29 a.m., you also called John O'Keefe's phone, and y'all had a short conversation as well. Is that right?
No.
That, the record shows, I think it shows, pardon me. Unknown, correct? In terms of whether it was missed or answered?
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
Sure, the 12:29, I want to concentrate on the 12:29 a.m. call.
Okay.
That one in the Cellebrite extraction, it shows in terms of whether the call was answered or not, the status is unknown, correct? It's on the last page?
Yeah.
Second row from the top.
At 12:29. Unknown, yes.
Unknown. However, you've already acknowledged that y'all did have a short conversation on that 229.
No.
229 call,
we didn't speak at 229. We spoke at 1214 and we spoke at 1218. We never spoke at 1229.
So you're indicating that the 1229 call was either missed or otherwise. Went to voicemail, something.
The 1229, yes.
Okay. I want to show you a document. Well, let me ask it this way. According to this, there were six more calls between your phone and John O'Keefe's phone.
Correct.
Count them, correct? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that's before, or that's up to 12:50 a.m. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. I'd like to show you another document. Your Honor, if I could approach briefly. May I?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll take, so we don't get them mixed up, I'll take Exhibit 90 back.
Okay. Thank you.
I want to show you one more document that you weren't shown on Friday. Do you recognize this one?
No.
Okay. If you look where it indicates on the left column, I'm just putting my thumb here,
okay.
The left column, the MSISDN user, there's a number that ends there.
MSISDN.
0142, sorry, 0142.
Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to answer this question before we approach.
I have no idea what we're approaching about. This document?
Yes.
Why don't we just go up there?
Sure.
May I have that, please? I
know
you need to look at
it. More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.